אנחנו קוראים בספר כתבי בעל הסולם בעמוד 48.
We are reading from the writings of Baal Sulam.
אנחנו בכותרת עמוד Article Body and Soul. שימוש המדע האנושי. ניתן למצוא את חומר הלימוד באתר קבלה לעם.
We are starting from permitted and forbidden in using human science. You can ask questions at cab.tv. Again, we are reading from the writings of Baal Sulam, Article Body and Soul. Reading from the heading Permitted and Forbidden in Using Human Science.
It's written, hence, therefore, so I don't know, maybe we should read also the previous excerpt, the revealed and concealed.
We are reading from the heading Revealed and Concealed.
Yes.
Today's science has sufficiently understood that there is no absolute certainty in reality. Yet our sages arrived at this conclusion several thousand years earlier. Hence, concerning religious matters, they guided and forbade us not only to refrain from drawing any conclusions based on theory, but even prohibited us from being assisted by such theories, even by way of negotiations. Our sages divided the wisdom into two matters, revealed and concealed. The revealed part contains everything we know from our direct consequence. The revealed part contains everything we know from our direct consciousness, as well as the concepts built upon practical experience, without any assistance from scrutiny. As our sages said, a judge has only what his eyes see.
Without the addition of any intellect, what is I see, that's revelation, that's the perception, the revealed part.
The concealed part contains all those concepts we had heard from trusted people or have acquired by ourselves through general understanding and perception of them. However, we cannot sufficiently approach it so as to criticize it with a healthy mind, with straightforward cognizance, and this is regarded as concealed, where we were advised to accept matters with simple faith. And with all that concerns religion, we have been strictly forbidden to even gaze at matters that could arouse us to scrutinize and study them. Yet these names, revealed and concealed, are not permanent names, applying to a certain kind of knowledge as the masses think. Rather, they apply only to the human consciousness.
Meaning for every person, according to his attainment, according to his spiritual development, revealed and concealed will be in different parts. And a person who's progressing, each time it'll be more revealed and less concealed.
Thus, one refers to all those concepts one has already discovered and has come to know through actual experience as revealed, and regards all the concepts that are yet to be recognized in this manner as concealed. Thus, throughout the generations, all people have these two divisions. The revealed part will be permitted for study and research, as it relies on a true basis. And the concealed part is forbidden for even a shred of scrutiny, since one has no real basis there.
Again, questions?
How can we differentiate between what we see with our eyes and mind?
There are many people who look at the world like you, but they see it either more internally or less than you. It all depends, except for your eyes, also on your intellect. Your mind sees. The eye doesn't see anything. The eye is some ball that has a gel in it, and it has nothing in the eye. Nothing. But all the information from the eye is that it doesn't do anything other than receiving this information and passing it to the mind. And the brain, when it starts to decipher these things and sort them, understand them, compare them with what was before, and so on, the eye itself, nothing. We can do here some kind of artificial eye, because altogether it's just a receptor.
It's written that a judge does not have what his eyes see.
What his eyes see, meaning that which he sees and no more than that. No more than what he sees. That he must go according to facts. That's called one should not judge a judge. A judge only follows facts without adding some intellect on his behalf. That maybe it's like this or another way. That's prohibited. We are discussing only according to that which we discover as facts. De facto. Okay? Let's go.
Heading permitted and forbidden in using human science. Hence, we who follow in the footsteps of our sages are not permitted to use human science, except with knowledge that has been proven by actual experiences and of whose validity we have no doubt. Therefore, we cannot accept any religious principle from the above three methods, all the more so concerning concepts of body and soul, which are the fundamental concepts and the subject of religion as a whole. We can only accept concepts of life sciences taken from experiments that no one can doubt. Clearly, such a proof cannot be found in any spiritual matter.
Meaning also for the wisdom of Kabbalah, what do I need to believe? I can only hear what Kabbalists say and to try and attempt what they recommend for me to do. And then from that I will get an impression. From this impression I will work, I will live. But it's not that I rely on a different intellect or something else that's written somewhere or something else. It's all as recommendations only. But rather we all the time go according to the sentence, one should not judge but what his eyes see. Next.
Clearly, such a proof cannot be found in any spiritual matter, but only in physical matters, set up for perception by the senses. Hence, we are permitted to use the third method, to an extent. It engages only matters of the body in all those deductions that have been proven by experiments and which no one doubts. The rest of the concepts, which combine the reason of their method and other methods, are forbidden to us. One who uses them breaches, do not turn to the idols. Yet this third method is foreign and loathsome to the human spirit. There is hardly any truly educated person who is able to accept it. This is so because according to them, man's human form has been erased and vanished. Man has been made into a machine that walks and works by other forces. In their opinion, man has no free choice whatsoever, but is rather pushed by nature's forces. And all his actions are compulsory. Hence, man has no reward or punishment, since no judgment, punishment, or reward apply to one who has no freedom of will. Such a thing is utterly unthinkable. And not only for the religious who believe in reward and punishment, since believing in his providence that all of our nature's forces are guided by him assures them that everything has a good and desirable cause. Yet, this method is even stranger in the eyes of the non-religious, who believe that everyone is given to the hands of the blind, mindless and aimless nature. These intelligent ones are like toys in its hands, led astray and who knows where. Hence, this method has become despised and unaccepted in the world. Indeed, know that the method of those who conceive duality came only to correct this above method. It only came to correct this above mentioned distortion. For this reason, they have decided that the body, which is but a machine, according to the third method, is not at all the real human. Man's real essence is something altogether different, invisible and imperceptible to the senses. It is a spiritual entity, clothed and hidden within the body. This is man's self, the I. The body and everything within it are considered possessions of that eternal and spiritual I, as they have written. Yet, by their own admission, this whole method is lame, since they cannot explain how a spiritual entity, being the soul or the self, can move the body or decide anything concerning it. This is because the following philosophical precision itself, the spiritual has no contact whatsoever with the physical. It has absolutely no impact on it, as they themselves have written.
We're still with a certain problem. How can we make a bridge between spirituality and corporeality? How is it possible that these things merge, and how's in what way? And continue. You have another verse here. Although it's not known, it's not clear what he's trying to say.
The accusation against Maimonides. Yet even without this question, their method would have been forbidden among Israel, as we have explained above. It is important that you know that the whole accusation against Maimonides by Israel's sages and a harsh judgment to burn his books were not because they had any doubt of the righteousness and piousness of Maimonides himself. Rather, it was only because he used philosophy and metaphysics, which were at their peak at the time, as assistants in his books. Maimonides wished to save them from it. Yet the sages did not agree with him. Needless to say, today our generation has already recognized that metaphysical philosophy contains no real content upon which it is worthwhile to spend one's time. Hence, it is certainly forbidden for anyone to take any spices from their words.
Yes, meaning that we can rely only on the wisdom of Kabbalah, and it's impossible to combine the words of the wisdom of Kabbalah with any other science or wisdom, since they come to us not from the Kabbalists, not that they have or don't have truth. They have truth within our world, you can use them if it's science, but not the rest of the wisdoms, the methods, philosophies, religions, that's all prohibited for us. This is why we learn and take into account only the words of the Kabbalists. Questions? None. So, let's go ahead. What do you want to ask, Vlad?
Doesn't it give a response to body and soul?
Of course not, because you can't explain that. You can't explain to a person who is not in true perception. There are no words he can't understand.
So the whole article, he was speaking, and he didn't.
He talked in the whole article that if you don't attain, you don't understand anything. That's it. You can accept yourself as a beast that doesn't understand anything more than beastly life, because that's what you're living in for now. So outside your body, don't jump.
In the middle, he wanted to say that we should be satisfied with, not to be satisfied with the wisdoms of this world.
wisdoms of the world, meaning science, which has proofs, clear proofs, on their spot.
And if you want to attain anything, we have to study wisdom of Kabbalah.
Correct, yes. We should continue. Yes, certainly, next. We're going to move to an article called The Secret of Ibur and Yenika. The first is the clash in the work of the Creator is called providence, or the nature of creation.
What do we want in some way to attain, to investigate, to receive? That is the relation of the Creator to us. That is called providence.
They're not called body, but rather simple matter of flesh and blood in its inanimate form, completely amorphous. It is so because anything that is called by the name form is regarded as a spiritual force and is not a body. This gives us a law by which all bodies are equal. However, as Earth is a single body that cannot be divided into many, for we do not find any change of form in it from one part to another, the still cannot be divided into many elements. Also, all the power of proliferation in the world is a wonderful spiritual force. For this reason, anything that is general is suitable and praiseworthy, for it comes from the spiritual force. And every individual part is lowly and contemptible. This designates the difference between a selfish person and one who is dedicated to one's nation. There's no doubt that the merit of the collective is defined by its power of proliferation. For if we have decided that the power of proliferation is a spiritual and important matter, then if the proliferation is greater, he is more important. It follows that one who's dedicated to one's nation is more important than one who's dedicated to one's town, and one who's dedicated to the world is more important than the one who's dedicated to one's nation. This is the first concept. This is basically a draft of something that he wanted to write later, a true article. Later. This is just like the bullet points here. So, but nevertheless, because it's from Bala Sulam, we study it. So the more we understand, we'll understand. If not, we'll get an impression. Questions about what we spoke about? None? Okay, we'll continue.
Birth in spirituality. Therefore, as there is birth of an individual in relation to the construction of the bodies, there is birth of the collective. This is done by renewal of the spiritual force, meaning development of the concepts is birth for the collective. For in a spiritual disparity of form divides the worlds from one another. This birth means arriving at the world of correction.
Meaning our development in this world needs to be to spiritual birth, which is the action that happens upon us and enters us from the feeling of this world to the sensation of the upper world. That's called spiritual birth. That is receiving spiritual kelim. Okay?
The exodus from Egypt is called birth. If we are speaking of the proliferation in the spiritual essence, it is similar to the corporeal case of being born from the mother's womb, which is a dark and spoiled world with all kinds of filth and unpleasantness. It is a world lit up by perfection, the world of correction. By this we understand the meaning of the preparation as defined in the kingdom of the priests, who have come to it by the prophecy of Moses, and for which they were rewarded with freedom from the angel of death and the reception of the Torah. At that time, they needed a new birth into the air of the enlightened world, called in the verse, a pleasant land, good and broad.
Meaning that spiritual birth has two parts. There's birth that is called, that we acquire restriction, masach, or chozer, and vessels of bestowal. And then there's another birth in which we also are born by working in vessels of reception in order to bestow. That's what he's saying. Those two stages. Okay.
Stillborn. That newborn was stillborn because after the pregnancy, which is the iron melting pot and enslavement in Egypt, came to the birth. But they were still unfit to breathe the spirit of life from the enlightened world, where they were given a promise they would come until the count began, and the war with Amalek, and the trials with the water, etc., and they arrived at the Sinai desert. Sinai, as our sages said, means sin'ah, hatred, for they are pronounced the same, meaning the affliction entailed in every illness.
Meaning even though they were seemingly born, but this birth was not correct, because they couldn't continue existing and absorb the spiritual degrees, and this is considered being stillborn. What's missing? He's going to continue here and tell us why this happens, because after all, in spirituality, it's all towards correction. So why are there such words like death, birth? Please.
The birth of father and mother. At that time they became worthy of breathing the spirit of life and the prophecy, and you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation.
Meaning it's not enough that they emerged out of Babylon or out of Canaan, entered Egypt. It's not enough that they exited Egypt, rose above the will to receive, went through the opening of the Red Sea. But the main thing is that they begin from the shattering to assemble together, to collect themselves together, connect again. And then,
at that time they became worthy of breathing the spirit of life and the prophecy, and you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. And it came true in them. First, a kingdom of priests.
Meaning to connect above the personal ego of each and every one,
to revoke their personal possessions, and subsequently a holy nation.
Meaning out of knowing how to annul and cancel their ego, and other than that, bring contentment to the Creator.
And subsequently a holy nation, which is to bestow contentment upon their maker through love your neighbor as yourself. In corporeality, the newborn falls into loving and loyal hands, who are the father and the mother, who guarantee its sustenance and health. Likewise, each one has been prepared with 600,000 who care for one's sustenance, they breathe the spirit of life. As it is written, and Israel encamped there before the mount, and Rashi interpreted as one man with one heart.
So the continuation is only after they know how to connect, love thy friend as thyself, and then after that, continue in the direction of love thy God, thy Lord. Are there questions? No? Okay.
Rav, I can ask a question about what we said before.
Okay.
Is incorrect to use the wisdom of Kabbalah to understand this world?
We can't understand this world if we learn the wisdom of Kabbalah, if we already acquire the upper system, then we can understand this world, because that is when we understand what forces are coming down from above to this world and are managing it. But just like that, for the study of the wisdom of Kabbalah, it's you can't do that. Meaning we need to be a pretty serious Kabbalist in order to understand from the spiritual world, the corporeal world. And as it's written, from the lower we will learn the upper, so he explains to us there that we need to rise upwards and understand the upper world, from it see the forces that operate our world, and understand the lower world and the connections between the upper and the lower and the lower and the upper. This is not immediately, and it's not simple. Meaning this is the knowledge, this wisdom of the connection between the two worlds, which begins to be from a high degree in order to bestow. Yes.
Can I make another question, Rav? In the next part, when we talked about the spiritual birth. Okay, I study that we need Masak, we have Or Choser, and so on, to born in the spiritual life. I try to work with the friends, to help the society, everything. But I never know if I acquire the spiritual life. There is a point in which I can understand that is possible, or
we can learn a lot of material from the wisdom of Kabbalah. Everything is open, what they wrote. There are no concealed books, there are no secrets. The secret is in you, that you can understand what you attain, and no more. And what we don't attain, we won't understand by word or by name. That's why it won't help us at all but to reach attainment. Yes.
Leon from Petach Tikva, who's at work, is asking, it's not clear why the exodus from Egypt is like a stillborn common nation, and they reach a connection of the Holy Temple.
Correct, it's considered that he is developing, and towards spirituality, it's considered that he is still in the ways of gestation and then dies. It depends on what we think of a birth, of a newborn and birth in general. The exodus from Egypt, on one hand, is called birth. On the other hand, after they go through all those events and enter the sin of the calf, then this birth is called being in a stillborn or an accident of birth. Okay, we will learn this. It's not simple. We don't quite talk about this now because we don't have the details in it, and we'll just get confused. Let's go.
Item 2, posterior and anterior.
Man's eyes are before him. This implies that he can look only to the future in a manner of growth from below upward. However, he cannot look behind him in a manner of conception. From above downward, as it is written about Lot, look not behind you. Hence, man is denied any real knowledge because he is devoid of the beginning. He is like a book whose first half is missing, so its content cannot be understood at all. The whole advantage of those who attain is that they are rewarded with attaining the conception too, meaning the progression from above downward. Man includes everything, and this is evidently seen when he looks and contemplates something. Everyone knows that he is not looking outside his own body and ideas whatsoever. Yet he attains the whole world, knows what people think, assesses how to be liked by them, and adapts himself to their wishes. In order to know that, he only needs to look inside himself. And he already understands the thoughts of his contemporaries. He already understands the thoughts of his contemporaries because everyone is equal, and a person contains all the people within. The restriction on one's knowledge is that one does not know one's own conception or remembers anything from that time so as to be able to say anything about it.
Meaning, this is the part that's called the posterior and anterior, the achor and panim. We attain the achor, the posterior, in a certain degree, in a certain extent that we have from the birth until the beginning of creation. And from that we can make an assumption towards the future. But in truth, a person is not whole until he attains the whole process of from below above to above below. And then we can say that he understands the whole path that he is going through and that humanity is going through, doesn't matter. By a person attaining himself completely and bringing himself to the end of correction, he is attaining all the rest of the souls, including the general soul of Adam HaRishon.
The 50th gate. This is the meaning of the verse, "You will see my back, but my face shall not be seen." Moses attained the meaning of conception, meaning all the discernments from above downward, in full. It is called the posterior of the spiritual worlds. And all he lacked was to look at the face as well, meaning to see the future through the end of correction. This is called 50 gates of Bina, since the level of Bina is 100 gates, and Bina is named by Kabbalists Ima, as she is the mother of the whole world. One who is rewarded with attaining all 100 gates in her is rewarded with the revelation of completeness. Their 50 gates from behind are the conception, meaning the progression from above downward. And the 50 gates from before are the necessary path of development through the end of correction. At that time, the whole earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord. And they shall teach no more each man his neighbor and each man his brother, saying, "Know the Lord." For they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them.
Meaning the essence is that we need to understand all the process from the thought of creation to do good to his creations, which began from the beginning, from when there was nothing, just the beginning of the thought, until the end of all of the execution of this thought.
This is the meaning of Moses' prayer, "Show me, please, your glory," meaning all 50 gates of Bina from before, And the Creator said to him, you shall see my back. It is enough that you see all 50 in my posterior, from above downward. But my face shall not be seen, since you will not see all the 50 from before. For man shall not see me and live. Meaning before it is due time, when the vessels are fully adapted and developed. Prior to this, one must die by seeing.
But in what could he show him if these degrees have yet to be revealed? If we didn't go through all of this yet and we didn't attain the end of correction, so there's nothing to show Moses either. Meaning, there's not yet, this is considered where he can see and remain alive. It's impossible. In spirituality, impossible is Kent, or prohibited is Kent. And it remains that way until the end of correction. And?
Prior to this, one must die by seeing this because the Kilim will not be able to receive that great light and be cancelled. This is the meaning of what is written, 50 gates of Bina were created in the world, and all but one were given to Moses. But in spirituality, there is no lack. Rather, it is all or nothing, as in a slightly broken vow. Sorry.
An oath. Okay.
A slightly broken vow is a completely broken vow. But in the end, when a measure of the kelim grow and develop sufficiently, they will be fit for attaining the 50th gate. You should also know that there are two kinds of attainment, prophecy and wisdom. With respect to wisdom, Moses attained what all the sages attained. But with respect to prophecy, he could not attain. It is about this that our sages said, a sage is preferable to a prophet. They also said that Solomon attained the 50th gate.
Questions? Yes, David?
It's not clear.
You're right.
Something taken out is...
There's no somewhat in spirituality. He did not attain it.
We're talking 49, not 1.
Why?
If I understand correctly, he attained 50th gate and they were all giving to Moses except for one. Were they given the 49?
The 49, yes. The 50th, no.
Understood from this? Or is it saying that it's all or nothing?
No. That has nothing to do with all or nothing. The gates of Bina you can attain in Katnut and Gadlut more and more, but the 50th gate, not. Because the 50th gate is only at the end of correction after all the people of the world join him. Otherwise, it's not considered Moses our upper. He receives in order to bestow to others. Otherwise, how can you give it to him? If there are no kilim behind him.
Another question. How can it be that he attains all of the gates in an anterior and if he hasn't done it in posterior, is it not done in parallel?
I can't answer you.
If a person goes from below downward, does he have to recognize in some way the next degree? Do I understand correctly?
How can he know the next degree if he's yet to attain it? I don't understand you.
How do you attain a degree if you're asking for something?
The reshimot. You receive reshimot. Why is there the cascading from before? Even before us. You receive reshimot. And these reshimot constantly awaken in each and every person. If you implement them correctly, then you have a paved road before you. You just need to implement them. To implement means to connect, to raise prayer from this connection, to receive from above down forces, to realize them together with everyone, and that's how it is each time.
These Rishimot are from the anterior. I receive Rishimot from the anterior and I need to fulfill the posterior. And where did the Rishimot come from? They come from the cascadings from above downward?
No. No. Achoraim and Panim, posterior and anterior, are something else. You think that you're receiving Rishimot from the past, that's called the posterior? No. No, also, reshimot from the shattering that we reveal are not exactly the same discernments upon which we are working. Because it's true that you're relying on the reshimot from the shattering, but you're going to bestow, you're going now to receive in order to bestow. Your shattering is, it was in other discernments, meaning the kilim that were in shattering and the kilim that you're going to correct are not the same kilim. It's not the same kilim. It seems to us that way. If it was that way, it would be simple. Well, we will talk about that. Yes. What, Vlad? What are you missing all the time?
He says here that there's two types of attainment. Prophecy and the wisdom. Moses attained with all the sages attain. But with respect to prophecy, he could not attain. And it is about this that our sages said, a sage is preferable to a prophet. And they also said that Solomon attained the 50th gate. What do they want to say here?
Yes. That Solomon attained the 50th gate and Moses not.
And Solomon had the vessels for the whole world.
Solomon was more than Moses in his wisdom, and therefore it's written about him that a sage is better than a prophet. It's written specifically about King Solomon. The next degree after David. He came after David, King Solomon, yes? That's it.
Next.
There are many things that I can't talk about here. It's above my attainment, I don't know. I'm not capable of explaining if it's like this or another way. We will attain it together. Yes?
The soul begets the body, conception and growth. We find two progressions in sown wheat. First, from the time it is placed in the ground, when it begins to strip itself of its form. This is regarded as begetting until it becomes naught, meaning the substrate of negation of its progenitor's form. And the actual becomes potential. Until then, it is regarded as conception, extending from the progression from above downward. Second, when it comes to the final point, the growth begins. This is the progression from below upward until it obtains the level of its progenitor.
I mean, there is a path that needs to completely rot the wheat that has to rid itself from its previous form, and then all that remains is the raw reshimot. And then from that raw reshimot begins to develop a new partzuf, which is already from below upward. That's clear, yes? Next.
General and particular are the same. general and particular, are as identical as two drops in a pond. It is so both externally in the state of the planet in general and internally, for even in the smallest atom we find a complete system of sun and planets circling it, just as in the universe. Likewise, man is the internality of the world, and you find within man all the images of the upper worlds, Atzilut, Bria, Yetzirah, and Asiyah. It is, as Kabbalists said, Atzilut is the Rosh, the head, Bria is up to the Chazeh, the chest, Yetzirah is from there to Tabul, the navel, and Asiyah is from the Tabul down. For this reason, there is a progression from above downward in man's conception too, meaning a slow expansion from the progenitor, the mother, until one completely detaches from her as one emerges to the world, moving from operating to operated, from the authority of the progenitor to one's own authority. At that time, begins the progression from below upward, the days of nursing, when still attached to the mother's breasts, until the form is fully completed in the final level of the progenitors. However, Adam HaRishon, the first man, was a creation of the Creator. He was certainly not born from a woman, but from the dust of the earth, as were the rest of the first creations who were formed from that dust, as it is written, and all was from the dust. And yet that dust extends from the upper worlds that precede it. It is so because above too there are light and kli. The light is in the forms in the reception, and the kli is the will to receive the forms that suit them. That kli, which is the will to receive, is never constant, neither in terms of importance nor in terms of an independent reality that stands on its own, but only with what it receives. Thus it has no more merit than what is received. For example, a poor man who wishes to acquire wealth is no more important than a poor man who is content with his lot and does not aspire for wealth. On the contrary, he is worse than him because the will to receive becomes one with the received master. Because the will to receive becomes one with the received matter, and they are only two halves of one thing. When each half is separated, it has no value in itself, which you can discuss with or negotiate.
We'll read it again.
Again, the general and the particular are the same. General and particular are as identical as two drops in a pond. It is so both externally, in the state of the planet in general, and internally, for even in the smallest atom we find a complete system of sun and planets circling it, just as in a universe. Likewise, man is the internality of the world, and you find within man all the images of the upper worlds, Atzilut, Bria, Yetzirah, and Asiyah. It is as Kabbalists said, Atzilut is the Rosh, the head. Bria is up to the Chazeh, the chest. Yetzirah is from there to Tabul, the navel. And Asiyah is from the Tabul down. For this reason, there is a progression from above downward in man's conception too, meaning a slow expansion from the progenitor, the mother, until one completely detaches from her as one emerges to the world, moving from operating to operated, from the authority of the progenitor to one's own authority. At that time begins the progression from below upward, the days of nursing when still attached to the mother's breasts, until the form is fully completed in the final level of the progenitors. However, Adam HaRishon was a creation of the Creator. He was certainly not born from a woman, but from the dust of the earth, as were the rest of the first creations, who were formed from that dust. As it is written, all was from the dust. And yet that dust extends from the upper worlds that precede it. It is so because above too there are lights and clean.
From the system of Adam Arishon.
The light is in the forms in the reception. And a kli is the will to receive that forms that suit them. That kli, which is the will to receive, is never constant, neither in terms of importance nor in terms of an independent reality that stands on its own, but only with what it receives. Thus, it has no more merit than what is received. For example, a poor man who wishes to acquire wealth is no more important than a poor man who is content with his lot and does not aspire for wealth. On the contrary, he is worse than him, because the will to receive becomes one with the received matter, and they are only two halves of one thing. When each half is separated, it has no value in itself, which you can discuss with or negotiate.
Questions?
I just want to say that the Adam Rishon is not born from a woman, but made from the dust.
Adam Rishon is not attributed to us. It's the general system which went through shatterings and preparations that we need to incorporate in. And for us, for the time being, we have no connection to it. That's it?
An allegory at the end, I don't understand it either. The allegory with the poor man.
Let's read it together. For example, a poor man who wishes to acquire wealth is no more important than a poor man who is content with his lot and does not aspire for wealth. Although one comes with a deficiency that wants to receive, and the other is happy with his lot. It's good for him. He's even worse than him. But he's even worse than him because he wants to just receive. And the one who is happy with his lot, content with his lot, is happy, is satisfied, because the will to receive becomes one. And these are two halves of one thing, which is the filling and the kli. When each of a half is separated, it has no value in itself, which you can discuss with or negotiate. Meaning, all that he has, one who wants to receive, it's not, well, how should we say this? He doesn't have a form of his own. He has a form from that which he wants to receive. That is, he is not the personality. He's just the deficiency, an empty balloon that needs filling. That's what one who's in deficiency is or has. There's none of his personality, or even though he wants something, but his desire is a desire from that which he doesn't have from outside. Whereas one who goes and wants to bestow has seemingly what to give, even though he has nothing. He is going only to deliver his deficiency, but he builds his deficiency, he gives it. Do you want to move to the part 8 of the test? Let's try.